But there's some things that are really good in the Torah portion this week. So read Leviticus, starting in chapter 25, the first verse, all the way through the end of the book, chapter 27, 34. I think that's the end of the book. The half Torah portion is Jeremiah 16, starting in verse 19 through verses 17, verses 14. And of course, today we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. And let me read that here really quick for us. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only while you're watching in order to please them, but with a sincere heart, fearing Hashem. Whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly as though you were doing it for Hashem and not merely for people. You know that this is for Hashem that you will receive the inheritance as a reward. It is Hashem HaMashiach whom you are serving. For the person who does what is wrong will be paid back for what he has done, and there is no favoritism. That's pretty powerful, huh? Pretty powerful. And so our message this week is called On the Job Holiness. On the Job Holiness. And really, what we're seeing here is Yeshua's employee handbook. You know, some of us don't think about our lives as believers that we are working for Yeshua in everything we do. But guess what? We are. You know, I was listening to Rabbi Schneider this morning, and he was talking about in his message that, it wasn't Rabbi Schneider, it was Chuck Missler last night. And he was talking about how when people go to their job, non-believers, the whistle blows at 5 and they go home and they do their own thing. But really, as believers, our employment is continual because we're not working for the boss per se, but we are working for Yeshua. And when we work for Yeshua, we have to do what's best for the company that we're working for, right? And so, Yeshua might not be on the title of the company. Yeshua might not be listed as the CEO of the organization. But we need to be doing everything like we're doing it for God. And that is really important. And so, that's why I look at, I saw this, this passage of Scripture, and I'm like, oh, hey, this is an employee handbook. This is telling us as employees who are working for our eternal employer how we're supposed to behave. So the first thing in the handbook that I see is that while we are at work, we are to focus on doing our job. And if you think about that, think about, as we focus on doing our job, doesn't that eliminate a lot of problems in the employee workplace? And I remember I had a boss one time and he had a sign in his office that says, "Those that are rowing the boat never have time to rock it." Yeah, when the people are doing their jobs and doing their part, they're not causing commotion. They're not stirring up gossip or playing politics, right? And you know what? God doesn't want that in His house. That's why He says that, we are, as slaves, we are to obey our earthly masters in everything. That's our employers, right? Our employers. And then, and not only while they're watching us, but even while they are not watching us. And we have to do it with a sincere heart. And we have to do it with fearing of God. And it's interesting here, and I printed this Greek really small. I hope I can read this. But the word for while being watched, and I can't read that, I'm so sorry. Ophthalmod. I think that's what it says. But it really means sight labor or clock watching or someone who is watching time. God doesn't want us to be, when we're at our job, always looking at the clock. Hey, are we done here yet? Are we done here yet? You guys know, you guys worked out in the workplace. Huh?
What was that word again you tried to say?
I can't read it. I printed it really small. Seriously, it's being a clock watcher. Where they spend all their time, and I remember this at school, and there's even that popular song by Van Halen, my friends and I always quote, "Man, I think the clock is slow," These are the clock watchers that are in there going, "When am I going to get out of here? I got to keep looking, oh, that clock, man, it's got to hurry up, I got to go." And God says when we're at work, we're not to be clock watchers. Because who are we serving? We're not serving the boss. We are serving the Lord. Yeah. And so, you know, we're not supposed to be lazy. That's a big no-no. And of course, it's my notes here, it says, if you're lazy on the job, you are not dedicated to Yeshua as you should be, because we are supposed to be doing everything like we are working for God at all times. You know, it's like, good, the boss is God. I can put my feet back up on my desk. I can kick back and I can, you know, surf the internet or, you know, text with my friends or whatever. And we've all seen people that behave like that. Big no-no. Or drink coffee or, you know, what is it? Yeah, I showed up to work today at 8 and at 8:05 I was at the coffee machine and, I had my coffee and I finally got to work at 10, you know, at 9:55. So I worked for 5 minutes until break time at 10. And I took my break from 10 to 10:15, and then I went back to my desk, and 5 minutes later I got some more coffee, and I worked till 11:55, or I drank coffee till 11:55. Then I worked from 11:55 until noon. I took my lunch break, came back to work at 12:30, and 5 minutes later I had to get some more coffee, and so the next thing you know, it's like, oh shoot, it's 2:55, I better get back to my desk, so I can work for 5 minutes, because at 3 o'clock my coffee break. And at 3:15, you know, I got to go back to my desk at work and all my coffee cup's empty. So at 3:20, I'm there going and you know what? And so then I'm drinking my coffee and I look up at the clock and I'm like, oh shoot, it's 4:30. I better get ready to leave. And we watch the clock. Tick, 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 tick. 5 and we go. Is that a good Christian testimony? Is that a good testimony for a believer? No. Because when we go to a secular job, we agree to perform as believers beyond the expectations of just being a body sitting in a desk, right? We're supposed to do something with excellence. And that's it. So while we're at work, we need to focus on doing our job, not focus on doing anything else. And so I know you guys are giggling because we've all worked with those people. Or some of us in denial and saying, we were those people. But so anyhow, so Yeshua Jesus wants us to focus on doing our job and to not be lazy. So the next thing is that when, you know, while at work, we need to remember who we are working for. And the scripture says, whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly as though you were doing it for Hashem and not merely for people. So we are to be enthusiastic about what we are doing. If we're doing a job, we need to be enthusiastic about it. If you're not enthusiastic about your job, maybe you need to change your career and find something you are enthusiastic about. So that way, as you're earning money, you have a good testimony while you're doing it. And it's something that's really important. But also beyond that, we are all called as believers in Yeshua to be enthusiastic about doing kingdom work. And you know, one of the lessons that I remember learning early in my ministry career is just because somebody has a servant's heart doesn't mean they need to be serving in every area. And I know people says, hey, we'll do anything for you. Well, do you like children? No, but we'll go help in the nursery. No, forget about it. God didn't equip you to be there if you don't like kids. What else can you do? Well, I like directing traffic. Well, then go out to the parking lot. Welcome people as they come in. Help them find a parking spot. Give them a bulletin. Whatever it takes, right? And we need to be doing it with enthusiasm. And you know what? The same thing about the laziness issue. We shouldn't be lazy about the kingdom of God. We need to be doing these things enthusiastically. And when we are doing things enthusiastically and we're focusing on pleasing Yeshua and not the boss, not the coworker, not the peer, not the friend, not the guy who can give you a raise, but when we focus on pleasing Yeshua, we focus on pleasing Him. He will bless us, right? And we will do a good job, which is a good testimony. So that's important. So the next thing in our employee manual, regarding payroll. That's why most people go to work, right? To get a paycheck. But when it comes to payroll, God promises that we will be rewarded. You know that it's from Hashem that you will receive the inheritance as a reward. It is Hashem HaMashiach whom you are serving. So each servant of Yeshua is going to have to give an account of behavior, right? That's how we get paid. And does God know everything? Yeah, He knows when we're working, right? He knows when we're slacking. He knows our thought processes. And so since we represent Yeshua, He is the one that is going to give us our eternal paychecks. Oh yeah, you will. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, "Much will be required from everyone to whom much has been given, but even more will be demanded from the one to whom much has been entrusted." So if God has given us a gift, a talent, we are supposed to be using that for ourselves? No. To do it, to give to other people so that they can make money off of it? No. Are we supposed to, "Yeah, I'm really good, but I'm not going to tell anybody"? No. We were supposed to be faithful and use those talents to serve God when He authorizes us and tells us to do these things, right? And we're to do them enthusiastically and with excellence. Yeah, exactly. We need to be faithful in every task given to us by Yeshua. And we need to get the job done. And if we need help, does that mean we quit? No. We ask Him for help, right? Because if He gives us a task, if He gives us something He wants us to accomplish, He's not just going to say, "Go out and do it," and kick us out the door, right? No, we need help. Okay, I'm going to help you. His Word promises that. And so we need to remember that we need to not be lazy about doing that. We need to not put off doing that kingdom work. We need not to be making excuses for doing what God wants us to do. Because what does Ephesians 2 say? You are His masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created in Messiah Yeshua for what? For good works in God, prepared long ago to be our way of life. Yeah, and so, you know, we got to start off, first of all, you know, well, I think one of the first ways that the adversary really tries to defeat us by looking at this verse is he tells us, "Well, you're not good enough. You can't do that," right? He all tries to put his thumb down. He doesn't want us doing the work of the kingdom, so he gets us to doubt ourselves. And I've seen too many people equipped, too many brothers and sisters equipped to do things. They have a talent, they have gifts, and they're not serving because they don't think, "Well, I'm not good enough to do that." Well, you know what? The Bible says you can do all things through the Messiah who gives you strength. So if He tells you to do something, guess what? You're going to be able to do it. And you need to receive that. And so, let's start off right now, and I think that this is for all of us, where we need to first start off by saying, "I am a masterpiece." Did I put this up on the thing? No, I didn't. I am a masterpiece. Say, "I am God's masterpiece." Say that.
I am God's
masterpiece. Created in Yeshua to complete God's good works. Okay, let's say that again because I really blew it on that one, but that's okay. Yes, I did take English in school. And I passed. So let's say that again. I am God's masterpiece, created in Yeshua to complete God's good works. Let's say that again. I am God's masterpiece, created in Yeshua to complete God's good works. So if any spirit comes to you and says, "You're not good enough," where's that spirit from? Is that from our Father in heaven? No, it's not. So what is our job? You say to that spirit, "The Lord rebuke you." Yeah. And guess what? You have authority to send that spirit by the blood of Jesus to where it needs to go. Because you don't want that spirit wandering around going to somebody else saying, "Okay, well, they're not going to take it, so I'm going to go over here and start talking where they want to hear it." But we need to tell that spirit, "No, they are bound. God's given us the authority as children of God to send them to the pit." And so many times God allows those spirits to come to us. Let's do the right thing. Let's just wrap them up in the power of Jesus and send them where they need to go, right?
For 1,000 years.
Till judgment. And you know what? And then God's going to judge them and send them someplace else that hurts even worse.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to remember that. We're God's masterpiece created to do the good stuff that God is actually doing. We're just His hands and feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so let me encourage you this week. You know, take some anointing oil. Put on your hands and feet this week. And, you know, make that maybe part of your daily prayer. Hey, Lord, I want to be your hands and feet today. You've done the good work. Send me to the place. Have me do the things you want me to do, because you already did the job.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing, we get the reward, right?
Yeah.
We're secular jobs. We're like that. I think we all do. Somebody else does the work. We just show up and we get the paycheck. Yeah, it doesn't make sense in the physical world, but in God's world, it completely makes sense. So then I look forward to hearing about the rewards, how God has blessed you for serving Him this week. So, regarding employee discipline, don't employee manuals have stuff like that, right? Yeah. It says in the passage, "For the person who does what is wrong will be paid back for what he has done, and there is no favoritism." It's an honor and a privilege to work in the service of God. We need to remember that. It's a privilege. You know, a great lesson this morning that I saw being displayed to my kids. My mom was like, "Oh, hey, it's a privilege for us to clean up the house of God." Well, why don't these people pick up? And it doesn't matter that. We're not here for those people. We're cleaning up for God's house. And we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for God, because this is God's house, right? And so we've got the hands, we've got the feet. Let's pick it up a little bit. Let's make it look nice in here, because it's God's house. And not because we want the attention of anybody saying, "Hey, you know, we're the best janitorial service in the building." We're just serving God. And sometimes we need to bend over and pick up a piece of trash. When we do it to Him, it is a privilege. And I have in my notes here, it says, being in the service of the King does not just give you the right to think that you're something special. You know, I think of, you know, you look at some royalty today, you know, the prince or the princess who thinks that that stuff is all beneath them. They're not the king. We're not the king. But we are a royal priesthood, right? And a royal priesthood serves. And so we shouldn't think that we're something special. Because guess what? God's going to judge us the same way that God judges everyone else. With no favoritism and with complete fairness. Yeah, exactly. You're grabbing your own stuff. So that we need to make sure that we are doing what is right. And not saying, "Well, I'm a child of the King." You know, I hate that thing. You know, somebody's doing something that's wrong and they claim to be a believer. And, "Hey, you know, brother or sister, I notice that you're struggling with X, Y, Z." And they look at you and say, "We're under grace. What are you talking about? I can do whatever I want. Jesus died for all my..." No! Shall we go on continue sinning so grace may abound? What does the Apostle Paul say? May it never be. It's not an excuse. And so we should not use our connection to being the, you know, the children, the adopted children of God, the King, to think that we can do whatever we want. We need to serve Him the way that He wants us to do it. So finally, the last thing in our employee manual today is regarding employee bonuses. And as a bonus, God has given us the Holy Spirit to work through us, right? He is the one doing the work. And when we submit our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, God considers that reasonable service. Psalm 19, starting at verse 7, it says, "The teaching of Hashem is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Hashem is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Hashem are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Hashem is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or respect of Hashem is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Hashem are true, they're righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover," here we go, "by them your servant is warned." So if we don't do them, we're warned, right? We get what we get. But on the other side, in keeping them, there is great reward. There's great reward. So when we follow the teachings, the precepts, the commandments, and the judgments of the Torah, and you know what's going to happen? God's word promises that we will be blessed. That we will get bonuses, right? And not only bonuses here on earth, but also bonuses in heaven. We get both of those. And so, if you want more information about the details of these warnings and stuff, look at our Torah portion. It touches on that a little bit. In fact, the Torah talks about obedience and how there's blessing. But yet, when we disobey and we're rebellious, that God can't help us, and then the curses of the adversary fall upon those who are disobedient and rebellious. And so, that is, what I want us to focus on. Let's focus on following God's employee guide. Do the things that He wants us to do. Why? Because I want to see you blessed. And you know, you've all heard me say this before. I want to hear testimonies of how everyone here has been blessed. Because why? What's going to happen? Then those outside are going to start to hear, who knows, maybe somebody's walking by and someone shared a testimony. Hey, you know what? It's so cool. God did the work. I was just the hands and feet. He did the work. And all I had to do was just share a little bit of love. And the next thing I know, this is happening and that's happening. And all of a sudden, all these blessings start coming into my house. Yeah, seriously. You know, I remember when my wife and I first moved to Menifee. And we didn't have much. And the house that we were renting actually echoed. You'd clap your hand walking in the entry in that first room there, and those of you who've been to our old house remember that. You walk in that first room, you can clap your hands, and you could hear it echo throughout the house. Yeah, because our house was that empty. But we started serving, you know, we said, hey, we're going to serve you, Lord, and you're going to provide. And the next thing you know, someone, hey, I'm moving, and I don't want these couches. Do you want these couches? We paid blah, blah, blah for them. Yeah, sure, great, thanks. Hey, we got these great couches to go in your other room. You guys need these. Here you go. Great, thanks. Got this dining room table we're not using anymore. Do you want it? Yeah, thanks. You know, you need that piano that you learned how to play on as a kid. We're going to ship it out to you. Yeah, thanks. And the next thing you know, as my wife and I are driving to serve the Lord, and a lot of people had garage sales on the weekend, and we'd be looking in people's garages because their garage doors were open, and everyone's curious. We all have to look, right? Chris looks at me and goes, my goodness, these people's garages, they're so empty. And ours, you can't even walk through. What's up with that? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, God promises will overflow. Obviously, we're overflowing. Yeah. And it's true, though. And it's not necessarily about having the stuff. Because if it was all about gathering stuff, you know, God would say what? You know, make some storehouses here on earth so you can store all your stuff. No, because sometimes God wants us to pass that stuff along. You know, like if you have two jackets and your brother has none, we're not supposed to say, be warm, be well fed. No, we're supposed to do, hey, you know, God's blessed me with two coats. Why do I have this stuff? Because God wanted me to give you one. All right? Important. We need to remember that. And and notice it says that it's a brother, not just somebody showed up and said, hey, give me your coat. You know, social justice or social equality. This is us just serving the Lord the way that He wants us to. So He has bonuses for us. So let's keep, you know, doing the things that God wants us to do and be rewarded. So our final slide just kind of goes into our challenge question. And this is something called an employee evaluation. God wants us to take evaluations, doesn't He? And I thought that fit just perfectly with our challenge. And our challenge for today, spiritually, we have to ask ourselves, are we following God's employee manual like He wants us to? And we're pretty easily blind. Oh yeah, I'm doing great, right? But part of this is that we need to take some time and just ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's any hole. If there's any way, you know, and employee evaluations, and notice here, we've got some responsibilities, we've got some accomplishments, you know, rating, knowledge, performance, productivity, all these things that are here. And, you know, and God was going to tell you sometimes, hey, I'm really happy with the way that you've been doing this. That's like a good employer, right? He'll tell you what they're happy with. And what does a good employer say on the other side? You suck at this, you're horrible at this? No. These are some areas that need improvement. And a good employer is going to do what? Not just say, need improvement, good luck with that. But a good employer is actually going to give you help to achieve those goals. And isn't God the best employer? Yeah, He is. So He is going to give you the tools that you need for that. So we need to ask ourselves this. If God were to give you this evaluation, what areas is He pleased with? And what areas do we need improvement upon? So let's just take a moment and bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's just ask Him right now in this place these things.